I got far better than what I deserved, I guarantee you. Hebrews chapter 11 in your Bibles this morning. The wonderful faith chapter in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll begin reading in verse 23. All of us make choices, and then our choices make us. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I have 4 thoughts about the choice that Moses made. First of all, the man who made the choice. The Bible says when he came to years, in Acts chapter 7, the Bible tells us that he was 40 years old. He was mature. He was healthy, very successful, wealthy. He had a wonderful mind. He was self-assured. He has had the best of education and culture. This mighty man, Moses, is who made this choice. I say that and emphasize that because there are those in society today who argue that Christianity only appeals to the very young, the very old, the sick, and the troubled. But this man, Moses, who made this choice, had it all. He was popular. He was powerful. He was wealthy. He was good looking. History says that when he walked down the street, people stared in amazement of how good looking he was. He was that handsome. He's always kind of reminded me of Charlton Heston. It is not wrong for a man to have it all and be that handsome. It's not fair, but it's not wrong. Second of all, the choice that Moses made. It was Pharaoh's household or the people of God. That's the choice. Moses was born to a slave family of Israel with a death sentence on his head. Pharaoh had said every male Jew would die when they were born. They would be thrown in the Nile River. Moses' parents had a choice to make. So they made a little ark and hid him in the bulrushes. He was found by Pharaoh's daughter and given back to Moses' mother to raise. So for the next few years, he was raised by godly parents. But the next 35 or so years, he will live in Pharaoh's house, feasting at the royal table of the most powerful man on earth. He was taught propriety and protocol and ethics by the masters in Egypt. He was surrounded by art and literature and architecture, the pyramids and the Sphinx, things that astound and amaze us today. Nothing good was ever kept from Moses. He was dressed, he was exercised, he was massaged in the lap of luxury. He would be a student of astronomy and religion and economics and administration. He had at his disposal both power and treasure. When you have those available, a third member follows, and that's pleasure. At 40 years old, his future was bright and secure. He had an exciting and a luxurious life waiting for him. He would have been buried in a pyramid, and in their way of thinking, he would be immortal. That's one side of the choice. Here's the other side. The people of God, a slave nation, oppressed and depressed, an increasingly bitter life awaits them from dawn to dusk the rest of their life. Gathering straw and making bricks and building structures under the whips of the taskmasters. In the depths of poverty and body-numbing labor with no obvious hope. Their life was bitter, and if Moses makes this choice, he will go from the palace to poverty, from elegance to nothingness. He would trade the honor of Egypt for affliction. He would trade ease for hardship. He would trade praise for persecution. That's the choice. Third, let's look at the foundation of the choice that Moses made. Something's got to make sense. When you look at that, that makes no sense at all. You don't leave the palace to be a slave. So why would Moses make the choice that he did? What's the foundation for that choice? Well, first of all, God helped him to understand time. Those three words, for a season. Moses understood that life was short. It's even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it is gone. He understood that sin is pleasurable, but it's only for a short time. And then comes disillusionment and heartache and despair and guilt and pain. Money and pleasure are only for a season. Strength of body is only for a season. Second of all, he based his decision on something that I cannot explain. I'll simply touch on it, illustrate it, and go on. In verse 26, he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What in the world does that mean? Four years ago, I had open heart surgery. And the doctor just said, your heart's a mess. So I went to the hospital and they did open heart surgery. And when I was in the room getting ready for that, I sensed the presence of God. I sensed the power of God. I sensed the protection of God, His sweetness and His love. Our life is special because He is special in us. That's the recompense of the reward. So Moses said no to Egypt and yes to the people of God. So what are the consequences? Choices have consequences. Short range, the next 40 years he spends on the backside of the desert with dumb sheep living in poverty. But then there was a burning bush and 10 plagues. You might think that it would be glorious after that, but it wasn't. When he began to lead those people, there was grumbling and complaining and always looking back and yearning for the slave life. They would rather live in slavery and have security than have freedom with problems. I can't even imagine in my mind how they could keep saying, we want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to the man who's killing all our little boys. We want to go back to slavery. Despising what God has done for them in the wilderness. They had their freedom and they had worship. They were so mad at Moses, they threatened to stone him. They turned down God when they came to the Jordan River. And because of a bad choice at a crucial time in Moses' life, he was not allowed to go into the land of promise. If you stand on the mountain and look at the choice in the short range, the choice looks horrible. But let's look long range. It's a great day in the life of any Christian when we begin to take the long look. 2,000 years later, there's another mountain. It's the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses looks good. He's doing well. He's with Jesus. He made it to the promised land. Moses made the right choice. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When you choose to serve God and God's people, you make the right choice. Some time ago, I told you the story of Glenn Wheeler, who pastored a very small church in Texas. He paid a price to go through Bible college. He said, if God hadn't put vitamins in the water, I would have starved to death. Glenn pastored in a little rural town. And then his wife died. He missed her so much. He was talking to a friend and he said, you know, Bob, I don't miss the big things so much. It's the little things that just eat me up. In our little church, after the evening service, we would stay and talk to everyone. Then we'd flush all the toilets, turn off the lights and the AC. Together we would lock the front door. Then we'd walk across the parking lot to our car. On the way across the parking lot, she would reach up and put her arm in mine. She'd say, you're a good man, Glenn. You're a good man. He said, I walk across the parking lot by myself now. I'd give anything if one more time I could hear her say, you're a good man, Glenn. Then he said, she was such a good cook. We'd eat and talk, and she'd get up and clean the table. Then she'd say to me, keep your fork, Glenn. Keep your fork. He said, I always loved to hear her say that. I knew that we were going to have dessert. I'd give anything to hear her say one more time, keep your fork, Glenn. He said, I was lying in bed the other night on my back, tears rolling down my temples onto the pillow. He said, I was feeling sorry for myself. It was like God spoke from heaven and said, keep your fork, Glenn. Keep your fork. It's not over. You're going to see your wife again. The resurrection is true, Glenn. All you that love God and serve Him, keep your fork. It's not over. You made the right choice. All of us make choices, and then our choices make us. Let's pray. Father, how very thankful we are for choices that you have given to us. And we have come to a place in our life where we heard the gospel preached and we made the right choice to be saved. We said yes to salvation. Oh, dear Father, if there's someone here this morning that's never been saved, may your Holy Spirit speak to their heart and may they come to Christ this morning. And if all of us who have made that choice to be saved, help us to continue to make choices that's going to bring about salvation in other people's lives. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to come close to you. And dear Father, if we've ever been closer than we are right now, may we decide that we want to get close to you again. We understand. You're telling the church, you've left your first love. Oh God, help us. Help us not to leave that love that we have for your Son that died for us on the cross and the love that we have for other Christians that means so much to us. Father, please speak to hearts this morning. And may we decide that we want to come to your Son this morning or come closer than we've ever been. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.